In the gaslit streets of Victorian London, where fog shrouds cobblestone alleys and hansom cabs clatter through the night, Sherlock Holmes sees what others merely look at. "You see, but you do not observe," he frequently reminds Watson, a distinction that forms the foundation of his revolutionary approach to crime solving. Unlike the bumbling police inspectors of his era, who relied primarily on confessions and witness testimony, Holmes employs systematic observation and rigorous logical reasoning to unravel seemingly impossible cases. His methodology transformed detective fiction from simple entertainment into sophisticated intellectual puzzles that readers could attempt to solve alongside the protagonist. When Watson visits Baker Street after months apart in A Scandal in Bohemia, Holmes immediately deduces his friend has been caught in the rain, returned to medical practice, and employs a careless servant, all from mud spatters on shoes, the distinct smell of iodoform, and scratches on poorly polished boots. This scene brilliantly establishes Holmes's extraordinary perceptive abilities while demonstrating how ordinary details, visible to everyone but truly seen by few, contain vital information about human behavior and recent events. Isn't it fascinating how much information we overlook in our daily lives that might tell us profound truths about the people around us? Holmes approached investigation scientifically when forensic science barely existed. He examined crime scenes with magnifying glasses, analyzed footprints with plaster casts, and maintained a catalog of 140 tobacco ash varieties, techniques that later became standard police procedure. In The Red-Headed League, Holmes examines Vincent Spaulding's worn trouser knees to confirm his suspicion about tunneling activities. What makes Holmes's deductions engaging is his step-by-step explanation of reasoning. When he determines a letter's origin from a German-speaking Bohemian based on watermarks and writing style, readers become active participants in solving the mystery, creating an unprecedented intellectual partnership between character and audience. Holmes's methodology emphasizes specialized knowledge. His famous statement about not needing to know the Earth revolves around the sun while maintaining encyclopedic crime-related knowledge demonstrates his focused expertise. His Baker Street sitting room contains meticulously indexed reference books, newspaper clippings, and case notes, all organized for quick access during investigations. Dr. John Watson serves beyond his roles as Holmes's roommate and biographer. He's the crucial narrative device making the stories accessible. As an intelligent but ordinary man, Watson bridges the gap between Holmes's extraordinary intellect and the reader's perspective. Without Watson's interpretive lens, the stories would lose their human dimension and emotional resonance. Watson functions as our surrogate in Baker Street, asking questions we would ask and expressing amazement we would feel. When Holmes makes startling deductions from mud spatters or calluses, Watson's astonishment mirrors our own. His recurring, "How did you deduce that?" prompts Holmes to explain his reasoning, allowing Doyle to reveal Holmes's methods naturally. More importantly, Watson humanizes the potentially alienating figure of Holmes. The detective's cold, analytical nature, cocaine use, and dismissal of emotions could make him deeply unlikable without Watson's admiring perspective. Through Watson's eyes, Holmes's eccentricities, from midnight violin playing to noxious chemical experiments, become fascinating rather than off-putting. Holmes's most memorable cases involve adversaries who challenge his extraordinary intellect. The most famous is Irene Adler, the woman who in A Scandal in Bohemia outwits Holmes, a rare accomplishment, earning his profound respect. Though appearing in only one story, her impact has made her prominent in modern adaptations. Adler's intelligence, not merely beauty or charm, makes her remarkable. She recognizes Holmes in disguise, anticipates his plans, and escapes with the compromising photograph she used to blackmail the King of Bohemia. Her victory is complete yet gracious. She keeps the photograph only for protection, not profit. Holmes's admiration suggests he values intellect above all else. Other worthy opponents include John Clay in the Red-Headed League, whom Holmes calls the fourth smartest man in London. Clay's elaborate bank robbery scheme exemplifies the ingenious criminality that stimulates Holmes's intellect. Even against less intellectual foes like Dr. Roylott in The Speckled Band, Holmes approaches physical dangers with the same analytical mindset he applies to puzzles. The Holmes stories paint a rich portrait of Victorian England across all social classes. From aristocrats to pawnbrokers, Holmes's diverse clientele allows Doyle to subtly critique the era's social structures and moral hypocrisies. Class divisions feature prominently throughout the stories. In The Beryl Coronet, a banker judges his son based on class expectations rather than evidence. The Noble Bachelor showcases aristocratic entitlement when a nobleman expects his American bride to abandon her previous husband simply because of his title. While Holmes respects social conventions, he evaluates people by their actions and intellect, not their social position. The collection also explores the limited options available to Victorian women. The Copper Beeches presents Violet Hunter's difficult choice between financial security in a potentially dangerous position or destitution, highlighting the vulnerability of educated women with few professional opportunities. Similarly, in A Case of Identity, Mary Sutherland falls victim to exploitation due to her financial dependence and social naivety. Unlike typical detective stories that focus on how crimes are committed, Doyle's Holmes stories explore the psychological motivations driving criminal behavior. The Adventures presents a nuanced view of crime, recognizing that human motivations extend beyond simple greed. In A Case of Identity, James Windebank's scheme to impersonate his stepdaughter's suitor stems from a desire for psychological control, not just financial gain. His need to keep Mary Sutherland emotionally dependent while accessing her income reveals a disturbing personality that Holmes predicts will end upon the gallows. The Speckled Band presents Dr. Grimesby Roylott as a study in deteriorating mental health. His history of violence, increasing isolation, and keeping dangerous exotic animals indicate psychological instability. His plan to kill his stepdaughters using a trained snake demonstrates both ingenuity and moral corruption. Even in simpler cases, complex motivations emerge. In The Blue Carbuncle, James Ryder acts from momentary temptation rather than calculated criminality. Holmes's decision to release him reflects an understanding that Ryder's terror and remorse are sufficient punishment for a non-habitual criminal. The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes created a cultural icon with influence extending far beyond literature. With over 25,000 adaptations, more than any other fictional character, Holmes's persistence speaks to something fundamental that resonates across generations. Holmes's methods influenced real criminal investigation. His emphasis on preserving crime scenes, analyzing physical evidence, and applying scientific principles anticipated modern forensic approaches. From Christie's Poirot to TV's House MD, the brilliant but difficult detective with an approachable associate has become standard in crime fiction. Remarkably, many believe Holmes was real. Baker Street receives letters addressed to him, and tours of Holmes's London attract global visitors, demonstrating Doyle's success in creating a character so vivid he seems to exist independently. In our technology-dominated world, Holmes reminds us of the irreplaceable power of the trained human mind. His legacy represents the triumph of reason, observation, and deduction in deciphering human behavior. We are all surrounded by clues to life's mysteries. Are we merely seeing or truly observing?